Telenor's increased indirect ownership of Tuck. This is Alan Kuhn from Investor Relations. By my side, I have the CEO Fredrik Baksaas, and CFO Trond Westlie, and Chief Operating Officer in Telenor International Mobile, Jan Korseth, and Christian Bernhardt from Investor Relations. I'll just hand over to Fredrik to make the first comments. I hope that you have the presentation in front of you. It should be able to you should be able to download it from our website right now. So hopefully you have that in front of you, and I'll hand over to Fredrik Baksaas.
Thank you, Erling. I today have the pleasure of announcing that we have extended our interest in Tuck to a transaction building the indirect stake through Ucom in Tuck. Thai Telco Holdings, a 49% owned subsidiary of Telenor, has signed an agreement with the venture on Gold Family to purchase the latter's shareholding, close to 40%, in Ucom at Thai Baht 53 per share. This consideration amounts totally to 9.19 billion Thai Baht, which is equivalent to 1.46 billion Norwegian crowns. As a result of this transaction, Telenor will consolidate both Ucom and TAC in financial statements as from now onwards. I move then over to page number two. As per regulations in Thai and Singapore markets, we are thereby also required to launch a mandatory general offer for all outstanding shares of Ucom. Then we're triggering a mandatory general offer in Thailand to acquire the 35.27% of Ucom shares held by the public at the Thai Baht 53 per share. This is then according to Thai regulations in this field. The transaction also requires clearance from the Singaporean authorities in the field, and this is yet to be cleared. I move to three. At the same time as this is happening, the Bencheronko family will submit a irrevocable offer to the Ucom board to purchase selected businesses and assets of Ucom. And this irrevocable offer will be subject to a 75% approval by Ucom shareholders at an extraordinary general meeting. I then move to page four. This transaction is definitely in line with Telenor's international strategy. We have moved from minority to majority positions, directly and indirectly, in many assets, and the DTAC operation has been very close to Telenor for many years. So this drives, we will then be able to drive the strategic and operational direction of TAC further by this transaction. And it will further consolidate the Telenor International Mobile presence. We see this as an attractive asset. We've been very clear on top of the DTAC operation for many years already, as I said. And the growth potential is in Thailand, we consider still significant. TAC is the clear number two operator in mobile services in Thailand, and it has profitable operations with strong margins. And we believe there is also an upside to catch from the regulatory reforms that is underway. The attractiveness of the transaction is should also be in place, as you can see from the figures at the bottom of page 4, with an enterprise value in 2004 to EBITDA of 5.7. to page 5. The Asian position that the Telenor now holds comprises Bangladesh, Thailand, Malaysia, and Pakistan, which means that we will be a significant regional player in Asia at this. And it falls into pattern with what we've done on the previous actions around other assets in the region. We then move to page 6. There is a description of the Thai market, which has reached a fairly high penetration rate at the end of 2005, estimated at around 50%. But we also consider that penetration will grow further from this point. And from a market perspective here, DTAC has been able to develop a market share which has, for the time being, at the second quarter, stands at 28.4% relative to the market leader AIS, which holds 64.5%, and DA Orange at 14%. Moving to slide number 7. The regulatory side of the Thai mobile market is still in an early stage, and it is in that of transition. In connection with the ambitions of joining Thailand into the World Trade Organization, Thailand made commitments to liberalize also the telecoms markets by 2006, so that the changes that are being undertaken is being directed by the National Telecommunication Commission. This regulatory regime is not in this final formulation yet, but we expect that both the interconnection regime as well as the concession conversion process is something that will be to the benefit of this operation also in the years to come. I now hand over to John Leslie, CFO of Telenor, to take you through the remaining part of the presentation. John?
Thank you, Ludwig. I'm going to take you through some of the performance figures and the impact on Telenor as well as the transaction, how it's being performed. Going to slide number 8, the impact of Telenor's consolidated financials. We are now going, according to today's transaction, we're going from the direct and indirect ownership from 40.3% to the economic interest in total of 56.9%. As a result of that, we're going into a consolidated mode for DTAC in Telenor's financials. So the last 12 months pro forma revenue is going to increase by approximately 10.5%. That means a number of 6.6 billion, approximately Norwegian kronas. In addition, on the EBITDA level, the last 12 months pro forma is going to be increased by approximately 12%. With 2.5 billion Norwegian kronas. And the transaction is going to be EPS, earnings per share accretive on the historical pro forma basis. That is going to be dependent on the acceptance levels of the two offers that we need to do on both the UCOM and the tax shares. If we stay at the level of today's transaction, we see that it's going to be an accretion of above 1%. If we get full acceptance, the accretion is going to be just under 4% in the pro forma numbers. Going to slide number 9. The impact on Telenor's consolidated financials going to net debt. The starting point of the pro forma numbers is the June 30 figures. Telnor had a net debt of 17 billion 800 million as a starting point. But just to a quick update, we did two acquisitions beginning of July, increasing that net debt number with approximately 7 billion Norwegian kroner. So you have to take that into consideration in understanding this slide. But it gives you an overview that the transaction related relative to today's transaction is going to be approximately, as Fredrik said, 1.46 billion Norwegian kroners. But if you look at the far right, if we get full acceptance in the both offers, we're going to have approximately, and this is an approximate number due to the fact that these offers are not yet public and finalized with the Singapore authorities, is going to increase from 1.4 to approximately 5.4 billion Norwegian kroners. But we still are of the opinion that we have sufficient leverage in this range for keeping Telnor as a good single-A rated company. Going to the slide number 10, when it comes to the implied. In this, we have two columns, one for the UCOM company and one for TAC. I'm not going to spend too much on the UCOM multiple as a result of the family giving an irrevocable offer on some of the, or most of the other assets in UCOM. And for Telnor purposes, we are going to look at those assets being held for sale. Going over to TAC considerations, the total TAC consideration of those shares implies an equity value of approximately 8.8 billion Norwegian kroners. The net debt is approximately 5.5 billion Norwegian kroners, leaving an enterprise value of TAC of 14.3 billion Norwegian kroners. Taking into consideration that we get full acceptance for both the UCOM and the TAC shares, these assumed numbers is going to give a market premium to the TAC shares in a combination of approximately just above 7%. The valuation multiples on TAC is then on 2004 numbers, enterprise value, EBITDA, is 5.7 times, and earnings on profit on 2004 earnings is 11.7 times. And then I hand the word over to Fredrik for the wrapping comments.
Thank you, Sean. The conclusion or comment here is that this is in line with the strategy that we have followed over the last years. We're very happy that we can include GTAC as part of the industry base of Telenor and to develop the time market further in the same at the same successful rate that we have done previously. And it adds momentum to the regional position that the Telenor holds in Asia. And with those words, I hand over to Erling to further take care of the meeting.
Yeah. Let me open for your questions.
Okay. If you have questions, please press star key followed by 1. Mr. Hartley from Lehman Brothers. Okay.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. It's Andrew Hobby from Lehman Brothers. I was hoping you could, first of all, clarify who owns the other 51% of TTH and what your economic stakes will be after the transaction. Thank you.
This is John Whitley here. The shareholders include Telenor Asia, and other and several private Thai companies, including, among others, entity owned by the Ben Chiron Kool family and Finansa Merchant Banking Group. So collectively, they hold 51%.
Thank you. In terms of the longer term position, is there a route to further increase your stake in TTH at any point in the future?
As a result of the local requirements and according to Thai law, there is an ownership limitations on 49% of foreign ownership limitations on 49%. When it comes to the economic interest, if in case we have further acceptance on the for TTH on the offers, Telenor will increase its economic stake accordingly.
Thank you.
The next one is Mr. Rock, Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, hi. Graham Rock from Merrill Lynch. Two questions. First of all, you mentioned a little bit about the regulatory environment. I'm just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on where you think you could get a bit of a regulatory, some upside there from regulation. Secondly, on the competition, and there's definitely been, I guess, a price war in Thailand now for more than a year. I can see the usage has gone up a lot, but your, you know, revenue per minute continues to trend down. I mean, what do we think is happening in the competitive environment in Thailand, and what's your outlook on kind of the rest of this year and 06? Thank you.
I will ask Ragnar Korset to answer these two questions.
Yeah, thank you, Fredrik. When it comes to regulation, it's still not finally settled how this will look in the future. The formation of NTC has brought us some steps forward, and we just look forward to see when they close all the sections that they have had recently.
And then the one on the competitive situation, Ragnar?
When it comes to pricing and competition, it has been rough first half year. It has stabilized in third quarter, as far as we see, and it will still be competitive, but we hope for stabilization now.
Okay, and who's the most aggressive player on the market?
So far, Here Orange has been the aggressive one, but both AIS and TAC have followed, and so the competition consists of three players. But right now, it has stabilized, so third quarter looks a bit different than the first two quarters of this year.
And what kind of ARPU outlook are you, I mean, have you taken when you've run the numbers for increasing your stake?
That is, we haven't run our numbers and sensitivities, but that's a number that we don't want to disclose.
But could we assume that you'd expect ARPU to continue to decline at sort of the rate of, I guess, between 2 and 5% into the medium term?
We have to give you a general comment. We do see that as most of the emerging markets, prices will decrease over a period of time. To what degree and what extent, we don't want to speculate, but that doesn't necessarily give effects on the RPU moving forward. So it's a bit of a mixture. So I'm sorry not to be more specific, but that's as specific we can be.
Okay, thank you.
Next one is Mr. Freeman from Morgan Stanley.
Hi. Could you just comment on the timings of the tender offer and when we know kind of, you know, the exact and final outcome of this?
This is Tom Wesley again. The Thailand offer on the Eurocom will be disclosed very shortly. When it comes to the offer, trigger chain principal offer in Singapore. It will be disclosed shortly. We did just need just one single clearance from the Singapore Security Industry Council. It's one issue that's outstanding, we believe it's coming shortly.
And on the other tender offer? The TAC offer?
The TAC offer should be going out to the market today.
Okay, and just on that direct TAC offer, can you raise your will it be an offer for the rest of the TAC shares, or will it only be for the foreign owned shares? How is that going to work?
It has to be an offer for all the shares in TAC, meaning both the domestically Thai held as well as for the foreign owned held. The structure, as a result of not being able to disclose any of the details, how that is going to be structured as a result of not being public yet, I have a problem saying you how that is going to be organized in detail, because that has to be disclosed first at the Singapore Stock Exchange before elaborating on the issue. But it's going to be an offer for both the domestic as well as the foreign shares.
Okay, thank you.
And next one is Mr. Mo.
Okay, thank you. I'm actually calling from Bangkok. I work for Macquarie Securities. I have four questions. The first has to do with going back to the first question, what is your economic interest in UCOM and TAC after this morning's transaction? Then the second one is that what you've indicated is that your economic interest in TAC has gone from 40.3% to 56.9%. Now that's a 16.6 percentage point increase in the stake, which is roughly what the Ben Jeronikun family held as an economic interest in TAC. But you're only buying 49% of Thai Telecom Holding. So can you tell us how you managed to be able to recognize all 16.6 percentage points of their economic interest when you've only bought half the holding company? Okay, third question has to do with the situation in Thailand. The number one telecom operator in Thailand, your biggest competitor, Advance, is owned by the Prime Minister's family. The number three telecom player is owned by the CP Group, which is the largest industrial group in Thailand. Don't you think it's a bit dangerous to go into the telecom reform process with no strong local partner? And, you know, Thailand has a checkered history of the way they treat foreign investors. And then the fourth has to do with the Thai IPO for TAC, which was announced a couple months ago. How will this offer impact the Thai IPO? Okay, thank you.
Okay. When it comes to the first two questions, the Telenor has direct ownership of UCOM of 25% prior to the transaction. As a result of the transaction, we now then own, or TTH, which is then 49% owned by Telenor, is acquiring 39.9% of UCOM. When it comes to the economic exposure, even though we have the ownership of the shareholdings of UCOM, and you said that the 16.6% of indirect ownership or economic interest in TAC is the full amount. It is almost the full amount, and that is the result of how the funding of the transaction is done. And as a result of that, our economic exposure is larger than our ownership interest. That is duly taken care of in agreements, and we are fully comfortable that this is a ownership structure that we're comfortable with the necessary operational influence.
Okay,
Okay, it comes to question number three.
As a follow-up, then, your effective control over UPAM is roughly 65%.
No, the economics exposure is close to 65%.
Okay,
to the question three. It's right now, of course, again here. We acknowledge that we have two strong competitors here, and they have strong owners, of course. We will continue our partnership with our very strong partner, the Benchard & Kuru family. And we are not of the opinion that we have a disadvantage due to a weaker partner. Not at all. We have a strong partner, and we are not of the opinion that we, because we are foreigners, have a disadvantage in the competition.
Well, I wish you luck. Okay, and then on the Thai IPO.
Can you repeat that, please?
TAC has announced that they would do an initial public offering on the Thai Stock Exchange. This was announced a couple of months ago. How will this transaction impact on the intended Thai IPO?
Well, we haven't decided on how to view that situation as of now. As a result of these offers, the circumstances are somewhat changed, and if we're not sure how that's going to impact that transaction.
Okay, because the reason for doing the transaction was to secure a 5 percentage point reduction in taxes for 5 years. But you're saying that you may not, you now are rethinking the whole issue of whether you should try to take advantage of that tax advantage, tax reduction?
What I'm saying is that we have no view of that issue right now, whether we're going to have a second view or not. So the issue is too early to say something about.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Next one is Mr. Ms. Column, CSSB.
Thank you. I think most of my questions have been answered, but just something of a follow-up from the previous question. Is it actually your intention to delist or privatize both UCOM and TAC? I mean, if all the acceptances come through, then I guess that's in reality what will happen. Is that thinking correct?
The intention of Telmore is to keep both TAC and UCOM publicly traded companies.
Frederick Box, CEO Frederick Boxos has to leave this conference now, but we will continue.
Okay, thank you, Ali.
Next one is Mr. Rath.
Hello, this is Rath from UBS. Just following up to the earlier question regarding the economic interest in TTH, could you provide a bit more color on this? Is this debt financing, or is this in the form of shareholding agreements, and what are these shareholder agreements, maybe if there are any, essentially, what sort of rights do you get through those agreements? Thank you.
I don't think I will elaborate more on the actual issues. The issues is that the ownership of TTH is as I described. That Telnor has a 49% interest, and there are local Thai interests with the Benchard & Kuru family, as well as Finanza and some other Thai residents in the ownership structure. As I also said, we have the economic exposure as a result of the funding of the company that leaves us with the economic exposure for much of the investments in the company. But I don't think I will elaborate more than to say that this is, as we see it, a common structure for foreigners to invest in the Thai market.
Thank you.
It's Mr. Mo again.
Okay, can you give us any details as to what Yukon assets the Benjaronikun family would be buying back?
I'll repeat the question.
On the on our slide number 3, on the irrevocable offer, we're saying that the Benjaronikun family have to meet the irrevocable offer. And that means that the irrevocable offer is going to be the network solutions, the broadband business, the mobile distribution, and the other parts. So that is the offer they have submitted.
Okay, so including UIH. The broadband business.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no more questions.
Thank you for participating. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.